Welcome to Your Cathedral Podcast, a podcast from the Cathedral Church of St. Luke and St. Paul in Charleston, South Carolina. For more information on our church, please visit yourcathedral.org.
So this week, the week before Thanksgiving, we added a new member to our family. And that was compliments of our oldest child's keen eye and soft heart. She was coming back from bowling with a friend and noticed by the side of the road a little tiny black kitten. And lo and behold, that kitten is now bouncing around our home and driving both our older cat and especially our sheepdog completely crazy, crazier than they already were. But what else could I do, Dad? Asked May. Leave the kitten stranded on the side of the road in the dark? So I saw a coffee mug on the desk of one of our staff members, and it had a paw print on the side of it, and underneath that it read, "Rescued is my favorite breed." And after reading Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, I think it's fair to say that rescued is God's favorite breed. If you read chapter 1 of Matthew's gospel, what you'll do is you'll find that rescue or adoption is right at the heart of not only the nativity story, but the whole salvation story. So if you would like to open that up in your own Bible, Matthew chapter 1, if you brought one, or if you didn't, don't worry. Just grab one of those pew Bibles there in front of you. It's on page 807 of the pew Bibles, Matthew chapter 1. And Matthew begins his gospel narrative with a genealogy. And unlike Luke's genealogy that begins with Adam, Matthew begins with Abraham. Now, some may argue that Matthew does that because Matthew is a Jewish writer writing to mostly Jewish audience, and the important emphasis for that audience would be Jesus' ancestral connection to the father of the Hebrew nation, Abraham. But we must remember that Abraham is only significant because he was chosen. There was nothing special about Abraham other than God chose him. He and Sarai are chosen by the Lord and rescued from, in their case, the darkness of their infertility. And through Abraham, God adopts a nation. A nation forever referred to as the chosen people. And as one reads through the genealogy, they're listed in that first part of chapter 1. You could read through it and cross-reference the names and the eras that they represent in the life of that chosen nation and see that the chosen people were in need of a rescue often. God had to rescue them again and again and again throughout their history, usually because of their own rebellion against their rescuer. The nation is given the name Israel, right? It's a name that was originally given to the patriarch Jacob after he wrestles with the angel of the Lord. And that name means wrestles with God, and that name is given to the whole nation. And that's exactly how one could describe the way the chosen people so often behaved. And yet, God chose them and then chooses them and chooses them and chooses them as they continue to wrestle with God. Right the way down the generations, God shows that rescued is his favorite breed. At one point in Israel's history, when the nation was wrestling with God in a particularly wicked way, it was in those extremely dark days leading up to what Matthew refers to in chapter 17 here as the deportation to Babylon. Another way of calling it, the Babylonian captivity or the exile. And so the prophet Isaiah, in that context, he shares with the people a sign as they are there, lost on the proverbial side of the road in the dark. And he tells them, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And it's this scripture that Matthew then grabs hold of as he writes his gospel. Matthew wants his readers to know that the rescue of the nation, as represented in that long genealogy, it's all pointing to a greater, once and for all rescue. A rescue of one nation will lead to the rescue of all the nations. And this rescue will not happen from a distant vantage point, right? This is not God sitting far removed up in an ivory tower. This is not like some general way back, way behind the front lines sitting on his horse. No, this is, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And just as the rescue of the nation was through a family, a father, Abraham, mother, Sarah, and a son, Isaac, this ultimate rescue would likewise be through a family, a father, a son, and a mother. I mean, a father, a mother, and a son. And this ultimate rescue would be an adoption, through an adoption. It hit me for the first time as I read through the Matthew Nativity narrative this week. I don't know, this is probably umpty-umpth time I've read this narrative. And, you know, Matthew shares this long genealogy, as does Luke in his gospel. And it's really the genealogy of Joseph, Jesus' adoptive father. Mary offers something very significant. She offers her virgin womb. And Joseph offers something as well. He offers his home. And these two, Mary and Joseph, receive the only begotten Son of God. They adopt him. And this long genealogy leads to Jesus, yes, but before it gets to Jesus, it has to go through Joseph and Mary. Joseph, we read, had every reason not to do this thing. It could easily have stopped with him. It could easily have stopped with Mary if they had not chosen to welcome this child. Right? This was a shameful situation, at least on the surface. Matthew takes great pains to make it plain that Joseph was not the father of this child. By all rights, Joseph could have avoided the whole affair and done what he was thinking about. He had resolved to do in verse 19 and divorce Mary quietly. He could have. But as he considered his options, God was with him. Emmanuel, right? And God spoke to Joseph through his angel. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and presented a calling to adopt. Or you could say to rescue the situation. And what's interesting is that the only command that the angel gives to Joseph is to name that child a certain name. He gives him the name that he shall give the child. The rest of the message is simply verification that Mary actually is pure and has honored her betrothal to Joseph. But then the angel ties Joseph back to his genealogy, right? He puts it into that context. He calls him Joseph, son of David. He then tells him not to fear to take Mary as his wife. And he gives this instruction. Here's the command. "He shall call the child's name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins," we read. The instruction that the angel gives Joseph, son of David, is that he should name this son that he will rescue by adopting this son. He's to name him Jesus, which you could translate as rescuer. And this rescuer will rescue his people from the deepest darkness of all, their sin. The adopted will adopt those lost on the side of the road in the deep darkness of sin. Jesus, the rescuer, is brought into a family, born a human, of a human mother, and adopted by a human father. Here is Emmanuel, God with us in the flesh, come to usher in a rescue, an adoption of all humanity. Seeing humanity lost on the side of the road in the deepest darkness, they are no longer stranded, though. He adopts them and brings them into the family of God. Rescued is God's favorite breed. And I realize that this kind of gets heady a little bit. All this symbolic, kind of covenantal, soteriological, that's a fancy Christian-y word about salvation, adoption language, all of this stuff can kind of get heady. And some might get a little squeamish to hear me talk of Joseph rescuing Jesus by adopting him. Does the Son of God need saving like that? Well, no, he doesn't need to be saved. Of course not, no. But he does seem to require it. Well, here's the great glory of the incarnation. And in particular, the nativity of Jesus Christ. God sees the lost and takes such infinite pity upon them that he directs all of his infinite power and will towards them, even to the unimaginable lengths of condescending to take on flesh and as Emmanuel to come among them and arrive at the end of that long genealogy of lost and broken humanity and adopt by being adopted. I mean, just look to this collect that we prayed earlier this morning. Here's what it says. It says, stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And as we are sorely hindered by our sins from running the race that is set before us, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Stir up your power and with great might come among us. The priest and poet John Donne highlights the magnificence of the rescue of the incarnation of the Son of God in his Holy Sonnet number 15. It's not very long, so I'm just going to read the whole thing to you. Here's what Donne writes. Wilt thou love God as he thee? Then digest, my soul, this wholesome meditation. How God, the Spirit, by angels waited on in heaven, doth make his temple in thy breast. The Father, having begot a Son most blessed, and still begetting, for he ne'er begun, hath deigned to choose thee by adoption. Co-heirs to his glory and Sabbath endless rest. And as a robbed man, which by search doth find his stolen stuff sold, must lose or buy it again, the Son of Glory came down and was slain. Us whom he had made, and Satan stole to unbind. 'Twas much that man was made like God before, but that God should be made like man, much more. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. Rescued really is God's favorite breed. So much so that he, the Son of Glory, came down and was rescued, adopted by Joseph, and born to Mary, raised in a family. But then when the time came that he really needed a rescue in Gethsemane and on Golgotha, he laid down his life and was slain so that the lost might be chosen, adopted, rescued. His stolen stuff sold and lost, but he bought it again. 'Twas much that man was made like God before, but that God should be made like man much more. That is great power. That is great might, this incarnation. It's hard to conceive of the vulnerability of God. How can God be vulnerable? And yet, that's just what the nativity of Jesus shows us. He became vulnerable and helpless like that little kitten my daughter saw on the side of the road in order that he might save the vulnerable, the lost, all of us there on the side of the road in the dark. That's what was necessary for the rescue. And so I suppose there are two main things for us to consider based on that. First, if that was done for all those generations in the genealogy, the nation was chosen. Jesus has come to save his people from their sins. Do we see ourselves in that story of rescue too? Can you embrace and adopt the fragile son of Mary as Joseph did in order that he might adopt you and rescue you and make you a co-heir of his heavenly Father? Do you see yourself as one of his favorite breed, rescued? And second, if rescued, is God's favorite breed, if that is so, can we, will we join in his rescue? Do we have eyes to see the one stranded and lost in the dark on the side of the road? Will we have hearts soft enough to be Emmanuel to them? God with them. Will we be as Christ Jesus to them? Vulnerable rescuers. Will we adopt? It's amazing that he includes the likes of Joseph in the rescue. But he does. Believe it. And he will include you and me as well. And so, we pray again. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And as we are sorely hindered by our sins from running the race that is set before us, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us, rescue us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory now and forever. Amen.